That the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this wedding ceremony. We've been invited to come together on this special day in this church to witness the joining together of this man, Bill, and this woman, Lynn, in holy marriage. We are their family and friends, and together we form a community to worship God and to witness the vows that they will be sharing together. So let's open up by bowing our heads for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, this is indeed an occasion to celebrate. Lord, we thank you for the gift of love. We thank you that in your providence you brought Bill and Lynn together for this moment where they are going to exchange their wedding vows with one another. Lord, thank you, and we invite your presence to be here among us and to bless this wedding ceremony. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so I ask, who gives this woman to be wedded to this man? As you know, the institution of marriage has been around for many, many generations, but marriage itself is not a man-made invention. The bond of marriage was first established by God Himself at the time of creation. For it was God who saw that the man was alone, and He said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will create a helper suitable for him." And He created woman. And I think Adam's first word was probably wow, whatever that word is in Hebrew. So anyway, God says in the book of Genesis, He says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two of them will no longer be one, will no longer be two separately. They will be united into one." The Word of God, the Bible, commends marriage to be honored among all people. In fact, Jesus Himself endorsed the marriage life. If you recall, the first miracle that Jesus did was at a wedding in Cana of Galilee when He turned water into wine. And I suppose many wedding parties wish that He would do that miracle all over again. Anyway, this is an awesome occasion to celebrate, and we are excited to be here. I know you guys are excited. You've been waiting a long time for this day. Let me offer a brief review of Bill and Lynn's story of how they met. They met each other in the spring of 2016. They were both on a Christian website called freechristiandating.com. And they began by messaging each other, and then they really connected that way, and then they continued with phone calls. And some of those phone calls, I understand, lasted a long time, hours and hours and hours. They became very close. They knew that they had, even then, early on in their relationship, they knew that they had found someone special. And then after a number of months, Bill decided to jump on a plane and go all the way east to the Midwest, to Toledo, Ohio, and then to drive over to the town of Defiance in order to meet Lynn in person. And once they met each other and they spent that first day together, I think it was at an amusement park, is that right? What was that place called? Cedar Lake, something like? Cedar Point, yep, riding huge roller coasters, loving it, but even more so, loving each other's company. So they decided even then at that point that they wanted to be married. And some more months passed by, and there were more visits back and forth from the West Coast to Ohio, and here they are today. And we're excited for you both, and we're so glad and praise God that you found each other. Let me offer a scripture reading that has a lot to do with putting into practice what would make for a good marriage relationship. It comes from the book of Colossians. It says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive just as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Bill and Lynn and friends and family, as we have just heard here in this passage, there are many virtues to live out that will make for a good marriage relationship. There's forgiveness and patience and kindness and humility. But it says at the end that the most important virtue for you guys to put on, to practice daily, is the virtue of love. Now, there are many kinds of love described in the Bible. There's a friendship love. There's a family love. There's even erotic love described in the Bible. But this is a different kind of love. This is an even richer and deeper expression of love than any of those other three. The word that they use here is the Greek word agape love. And the best way I know to define agape love is agape love just means always acting in the best interest of the person that you love. This is the kind of love that's compassionate to each other, the kind that is humble and gentle and patient. It's the kind of love that moved Jesus to leave the glory of heaven and to take on humanity. And as it says that being found in appearance as a man, that Jesus humbled himself for our benefit because he knew that we needed forgiveness for our sins. And so he decided to become the substitute payment for our sins when he gave his life for us on the cross as an expression of love. In fact, Jesus said these words, "Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So we call Jesus our Savior, and we enjoy him, and you have that in common. Since both of you are Christ followers, you want to honor the Lord Jesus with your life. Let Jesus be your ultimate example of love and a showing of grace and speaking the truth to one another in love. Now, there's other virtues for you to put on that would enhance and build on your marriage relationship. There's another virtue that to put into practice called faithfulness. Faithfulness is that when you say your vows today at the altar, you're promising to be faithful to one another for as long as you both shall live. That's loyalty. Loyalty to your spouse. That's the foundation of trust for your marriage. So be sure to be faithful to one another. As the scripture says, therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. So you are to remain faithful to each other. Another virtue to put into practice is honor. As married couples, we are called to give the highest regard to your spouse, to the one that you've chosen to love for a lifetime. We honor each other in the way that we speak to each other, in the way we behave inside the home and outside the home. In other words, you honor them privately and you honor them in public. The Bible says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. The next virtue is humility. Humility is basically the opposite of pride. Pride says, me first. I want what I want when I want it. Humility is willing to say, it doesn't have to be me first all the time. It can be you first. Even when you're out choosing a movie, you might even say, hey, what movie do you want to see? We're meant to be humble and unassuming. We should always be ready to step up and admit that when we are wrong. I didn't say, remember, I said we're not to just be humble, admit if we're wrong, but when we're wrong, because none of us are perfect, and we both need to admit our wrongdoings, and it takes humility to do that. The Bible says in Ephesians, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Three other virtues that I can think of to put into practice. There's patience, which is another, the King James probably spells it out well. The King James Version says patience is long-suffering. In other words, there'll be times when there'll be a clash in your personality and your decision-making, and the idea is to exercise patience and kindness to one another, not to be irritated, not to fly off the handle, not to be short-tempered with each other, but to exercise patience. Be completely humble and patient, the Bible says, with understanding and unity. And as I said, I'll just repeat that, Colossians, the last verse, it says, and over all these virtues, which we've talked about today, if you can put those into practice, you're going to have a great, loving, harmonious marriage. Over all these virtues, it says, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Bill and Lynn, I can tell you from experience, having been married a while, that to try and live out all these virtues with each other privately and publicly, day in, day out, if all you have to rely on is your own willpower or your own strength, it's going to be nearly impossible to love one another at that level, to measure up to the virtues that a good marriage requires. The good news is that God is more than willing to help you. And if you guys are willing to rely on God and his strength and grace to help you in your relationship, then I can promise you with all confidence that your marriage really can and will last forever. So now we've come to the point of exchanging vows where you are going to publicly in front of these family members and friends. And by the way, just as a little break in the moment here, if you guys want to say hello to your family there in Ohio, watching via live stream. I know many of Lynn's family are back there. Glad for the opportunity to be able to watch this live. So, Bill, as you hold Lynn's hands, would you please repeat after me, one phrase at a time. I, John William Hart.
I, John William Hart.
Take you, Lynn Marie Cattell.
Take you, Lynn Marie Cattell.
To be my lawfully wedded wife.
To have and to hold,
from this day forward,
for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish you, until we are parted by death. This is my solemn vow to you. And Lynn, would you please repeat after me? I, Lynn Marie Cattell, take you, John William Hart, to be my lawfully wedded husband, to have and to hold, from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or for poor, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish you, until we are parted by death. This is my solemn vow to you.
This is my solemn vow to you.
And now for the moment when you'll exchange rings. Bill and Lynn, do you have a token or a symbol of your commitment to each other? I see that you do. Two beautiful pieces of jewelry, these wedding rings. And I just want to remind you that for many generations, the wedding ring has been much more than just a nice, expensive piece of jewelry, although I can look at these and say that it is. These rings are an outward symbol. They're something you can look at and see and touch every day of your lives. These rings represent the commitment, the faithfulness that you are to have to one another. The rings represent that you are to be exclusive, faithful to one another. When you see the ring, you look at that ring and you say, I am not available to anybody else. I am married. I am exclusively committed to my spouse. I'm taken. So when somebody looks at you and they see the wedding ring, they say, ah, they're married. They're taken. And you say, that's right, because I'm committed to my spouse. This ring reminds you that you've committed yourself to be exclusive to your one and only spouse. And so as you look down on your ring from time to time, be reminded not only of who you are as a married person, but also be reminded to whom you belong. Bill, as you place the ring on Lynn's finger, would you please repeat after me? With this ring, I pledge my love and faithfulness to you, as long as we both shall live. And Lynn, as you place the ring on Bill's finger, would you please repeat after me?
With this ring,
I pledge my love and faithfulness to you,
as long as we both shall live.
Thank you.
beautiful song. I think I remember one of the lyrics of that. It says, it's you I've been waiting for all of my life. How true that has come for you guys today. As their first act as a married couple, Bill and Lynn would like to honor God and the Lord Jesus Christ by partaking of communion. So they're going to do that at this time. Going to go to the Lord one more time in a moment of prayer and ask God's blessing for Bill and Lynn. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you for you have been here with us today and you have witnessed these pledges and commitments and promises that Bill and Lynn have exchanged to one another. Lord, we ask your divine blessing on both of their lives. Lord, we ask you to guide them together throughout their lives in your righteousness, with your blessing. And Lord, we ask you to love and to guide them in the adjustments as they continue to bond together as a married couple. Lord, may their home be a haven of blessing. May it be a place where you are honored and glorified. And Lord, we ask that you lead them in an ever closer walk with you, so that in loving and serving you, they might be abundantly blessed and enriched with your favor. All these things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, Bill and Lynn, because you have made these vows before God and before these witnesses here today, both live and via live stream, then it's my privilege as a minister and licensed by the state of California, I have the privilege of declaring that Bill and Lynn are now husband and wife. Bill, you may kiss your bride. And the honor of being the first to introduce to you Mr. and Mrs. Bill and Lynn Hart.